Good morning, everyone. How is everyone? Good. It's been a long time since I've been up here, so I forget how bright it is, so forgive me for squinting really fast as I adjust my eyes. Thank you for the update, Aaron. Our children are very special here at Clay House, and it's important to instill the right foundation in our children as they grow through kids' ministry into youth ministry, and then they become adults. Proverbs does teach us that we need to teach our children the way they should go so that when they're older, they can always fall back to those teachings. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today, building on the right foundation, the gospel foundation. So before we jump in, I just want to give us just a little recap. We've been going through the book of Corinthians through a series called How to Become a Mature Church. And what Paul is doing here in this letter of the Corinthians, he's responding in rebuttal of the report he's been hearing when he's in Ephesus about what's going on in the church of Corinth. And in his letter, he's admonishing and encouraging everyone to always look through life's situations through a gospel lens. And with that, when I was reading through and thinking about what is a gospel lens, I thought about my own experience with glasses. I am not a glasses wearer. I don't have contacts or anything like that, but I do like my sunglasses a lot, right? Yeah, I do like them a lot. And one thing in particular I love about my sunglasses is I always look for the polarized lens. Because what polarized lenses do for you when you put them on, they takes away this filter that's in the air that you don't quite know you're seeing, but when you put it on, it's like this film gets taken away and you have more clarity and your depth of field kind of increases and the rays of the sun get blocked even more. And so you're able to see things in a much clearer lens. And the same thing when you put on your gospel lens. The film of the earth and the worldliness of our earth and the crazy situations that are happening amongst us kind of dissipate, and we can see clearly and navigate situations smoothly with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So this is what Paul is asking the Church of Corinthians and is asking every single one of us to do as we go through our life and through our day-to-day situations. Strive to look through a gospel lens. So today I'd like to invite you to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to be reading from verses 10 through 22. So I'll read those for us and then I'll pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 through 22. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work of anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burnt up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Don't you know that you are God's temple, that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you are holy. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wise of this world is folly with God, for it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness, and again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, and they are futile. So let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you are our foundation, that without you, we would be standing on a faulty rock that would wither and crumble, and we would fall and crumble with it. So we praise your name, and we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross and for the foundation which is laid, which is in you, Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, I ask that I invite you to come in this morning and minister to our hearts and to our minds and to those who are listening on our live stream. Minister to each one of us today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, when we put our gospel lenses on, we can see life's difficulty without the film of the world, like I was saying, and with a clarity given through the Holy Spirit. Let's start with verse 10 through 11. According to the grace which is given to me like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, I, Paul, and someone else is building on it. So let each one take care of how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation that which has already been laid, which is in Christ Jesus. When I first read this passage a long time ago, and as I was rereading it, preparing, I was thinking the foundation, and my mind instantly went to Sunday school, and the Sunday school of seeing like a actual rock on the felt board, and then a house like actually made out of stone on felt board, and how water washes the house away, and how the house on the rock like stays. And I thought to myself, it's interesting that our minds kind of go into this children's ministry mindset when the truths of the gospel are very profound in this area. And I just kind of want to pull us back so we don't think of it as a VeggieTale phenomenon or even a Sunday school phenomenon, because we're now eating from meat and not being fed by milk, as we heard last week. When Christ is speaking about laying the right foundation in his sermon, he's in a particular area that's in rolling hills, and inside those hills is limestone. So Christ is just a skillful preacher. He uses exactly what's around him to illustrate what's going on. And in these mountains, they're full of limestone. So people would build their homes on the limestone. They would break down the first layers of dirt and get all the way down to the limestone, and then they would erect their homes. This limestone was perfect for farming, and you would think, why would you plant seeds on limestone? I don't think things can grow in rock. But what would happen was, when it would rain in this area of Galilee, the limestone is so porous, it sucks in the water, and it drains it down into the valley, making the valley's foundation very loose. So they didn't want to build there because their houses wouldn't withstand this loose gravel. But all the minerals from the limestone would come into the valley, and it was perfect for farming. It's actually called Mesa Rosa, which was interesting because that's how they said it in Greek, but it sounds Spanish to me. So I was like, oh, that's very interesting. So when Christ is telling everyone in this sermon about the builder lays his house on the right foundation, he's using the elements that are around him. And when Paul's telling us the builder lays the right foundation, that which is in Christ Jesus, it's the gospel lens that we must stand upon when things in this world confront us and shake us sometimes. So I just wanted to pull you out of the VeggieTale phenomenon into what adults would really see in this. Last week, Pastor Tim was talking about cleaning up our diet. I had gone through a little bit of a health crisis about 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. My wife can tell you the exact time. But I went to the doctor, and my cholesterol was just through the roof. I had inflammation like no other. I was feeling just very like lethargic all the time, and I was puffy everywhere. I wasn't like gaining weight, but I was just like puffy. I felt like a marshmallow, just like really light and fluffy, but I was like, what is going on with me? And the doctor was like, well, you know, you have to, we're going to put you on some heart medicine because you're getting close to having a heart attack. And that just like really scared me. At 30 years old, I was like, I'm too young to be hearing any of this. What can I do? And unfortunately, the doctor at the time said, well, there's really nothing you can do there. You know, just continue, eat right and exercise well. And, you know, this is just part of getting old. I just did not accept that. I was like, am I getting old, really? I guess I am. But I couldn't accept that was going on in my body. So I sought out different doctors, and I finally landed on this nutritionist. This nutritionist, her name's Dr. Molly. She's here in town. And one thing that really struck me is we really have to reset the building blocks and strip away all the damage that has been done so we can start building back your nutrition on how it's meant to be and how your bodies naturally can, produce and function without any of these fillers. So I was had to clean up my diet and strip all that away. And the same thing that Paul is telling us here, we have to clean up our foundation, get things ready, get the loose gravel, the dirt off of it, so we can find that bedrock, that limestone, and build upon it. And that is the gospel foundation. So I want to draw your attention to an image that I have here on the screen. Hopefully it comes up here. This is a beautiful hotel here in Colorado Springs. It's the Colorado Springs Marriott. I actually spent a lot of summers here because of work and event planning. This is our home hotel where we do a lot of our events at. But the thing about this place is it's built on sandstone. And for those who know and those who don't know, sandstone is actually a big, like, you kind of want to avoid actually building on sandstone because it's highly erodible. And especially here in our town where it rains a lot, hails a lot, then snow, and then it heats and it cold, just in a rapid amount of time, all that expansion and contraction just eats away at the sandstone. However, this building has a foundation that's laid with these casings that are huge. They're commercial-style rebar bars. They're about 150 feet each in diameter, and they go down deep, 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 deep into the ground, and then the concrete gets poured inside of them and around them to sustain the foundation. So no matter what happens with the weather, the pressure changes in the atmosphere, or anything of that nature here in Colorado Springs, the Marriott Hotel will stand pretty the way it is. Right? That's a beautiful picture. It will stand and it will withhold the elements of the world. So when we encounter the elements of the world in our own personal life, we can embrace them head on when our foundation is in Christ Jesus. Let's move forward to verse 12 through 15. In this verse, we're told that others are building upon it. When he means by others are building upon it, he's talking about the other preachers that are coming into town, Apollos, Paul, and Cephas, Peter. Others are building upon it, but their work is going to become manifest. He uses words such as gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. Some of this verbiage you actually can find a lot in the book of Revelations, and I started thinking, what does he mean by all of this? And I was looking at it through the context, and I thought, you know what? What he's saying is there's a difference between sound doctrine and unsound doctrine. Your sound doctrine is your gold, your precious stones, your precious metals, and the silver. Unsound doctrine is wood, hay, straw, and all these things come to test. They will always be tested. Even as I stand here in the pew or up here on stage or Pastor Tim, we always encourage you to reference back to what we're talking about because we want you to keep us accountable with our doctrine, right? Not only that, I have an example here. My wife one time was at a church when she was living in Washington, and she was in her life group, and in the life group, over a couple years, she just kept saying, just hearing everyone saying, well, Mark says this, and Mark says that, and Mark this, and well, I think Mark referenced this situation, and she felt a little bit at a loss because she would go home on her own time, and she's looking through the book of Mark, trying to figure out, what are they saying? Why can she not find what's happening in everything that's being displayed? She finally gathers up the courage and just asks them flat out, guys, where is any of this happening? Because I can't find any of this in Mark. Can someone please explain? And they kind of paused and looked at her, and they said, well, we actually mean Mark, our pastor. Well, you see, later on in this church, the pastor of that church actually came into some trouble, and his foundation wasn't laid on the gospel. It was more on himself. And it happened in the congregation where you could tell, and she could tell, everyone was more interested about what Mark the pastor had to say versus what the gospel of Mark had to say. And this is the difference between the sound doctrine and unsound doctrine. And I have an example here for all of you also to interact with me. I would like for you guys to look underneath your chairs. If you find an envelope under your chair, please bring it up to me. I want everyone to look under their chair. That means you, Beckett, go ahead, look under your chair. If there's an envelope up there, I'd love for you to bring it up. Thank you. Thank you, Tyler, for this envelope. Wonder what goodies we have in here. Oh, thank you, Beckett. Appreciate you. I have here a gold coin. This is a $1 gold coin. A lot of times when you use this currency, it sometimes gets rejected because people don't see these a lot. But they're real. Here's a gold coin, an example of our sound doctrine. Here's some wild flowers and some weeds that I found out here in our field. And they're actually, you know, face value, they look very pretty. I made a little bouquet. I kind of showed Erin. I was like, here you go. And she's like, no, thanks, man. These flowers are very pretty. The coloring is very pretty. But if you look deeper, you can kind of see it's a little dead in here. And the roots are kind of dead. Now, what would happen when Christ comes and the fire happens? This would burn up, right? I'm not gonna light it on fire. So all you elders out there, I'm not gonna light it on fire. But we would know what would happen to this. This would get burnt up. Oh, I dropped my coin. But the coin, when it goes under fire, it will withstand that heat, and it will hold it, the heat, and it stays true. Unlike our flower, pretty flower, filled with sweet nothings of the gospel. Another example is, all paths lead to heaven. All paths lead to God. Have you heard it before? I know I haven't. I just know that the only way to the Father is through Christ Jesus. And he tells us that clearly. But one sounds really sweet. And the other sounds kind of hard. Kind of hard to take up. I heard a news commentator the other day admitting that Jesus was a real person. But he also admitted that Christ self-admittedly said he wasn't perfect. Now, we all know that that doesn't line up with our doctrine of Christ being fully God and fully man, correct? But what he was doing, he was admitting the sanctity of the Lord, that he was a real person, but that he wasn't fully divine. And I think he was actually referencing Luke chapter 8, verse 70. I'd encourage you to go look for Luke chapter 8, 70 and email me and tell me what you find. And so moving on, what comes out of our mouths will always be tested, whether it's biblical or unbiblical. And if we withstand the refinement of God, we will be given a reward here in this life and the next. Amen? Oh, the Lord is good, huh? The Lord is good. Well, again, Paul calls us and he says, You all are the temple of the Lord. This is a Greek word called este, another Spanish word that I found that is actually Greek, este, meaning you all are the church, you are the temple of the Lord. And when we all come together, we are part of this temple that he's talking about. So when you have someone who's up here giving unsound doctrine, or if you're in your small groups and you hear unsound doctrine, I'm not saying that it happens, but in general, when we're all together and we're corporately meeting and individually, we all are responsible to lift up the gospel and the doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ in an appropriate manner. Because if we glorify another person for their own wisdom, we begin this process of what Paul says here, ruining God's temple. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. So, moving on. Verses 18 through 20. What Paul does here is he takes two specific quotes from Job 5:23 and Psalms 94:11. And he quotes back to the Corinthian church to kind of mock them. And he's throwing it in their face. You guys are thinking reversely here. You guys aren't thinking correctly. Look at here, it says, "Let no one deceive himself, for if anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, he will become a fool." Interesting. There's many times in my life where I thought I have made the right decision, and I've thought I've sought the Lord enough. And in those times, I know, now if by experience, I know that when I feel confident, I know I'm not doing the right thing because I'm leaning on my own wisdom and doing exactly what I want and kind of using Christendom as an excuse. And that's me not standing on the right foundation. But through the experience and guidance of the Holy Spirit, he's been able to hit me on the side of the head and be like, "Dude, this is not right. Continue moving into me." And sometimes when God calls us into things that we don't want to, it's really because it's actually good for us. Amen? So don't be reverse thinking. Don't lift up your own wisdom all the time. The Lord made you intelligent. The Lord made you wise. But his understanding is surpass every single one of us and all transcendence of the universe. It is he who laid the foundations of the earth. It is he who set his son, Jesus Christ, laid the foundation of the gospel that we can stand on and be proud upon. Even if the world shames us into thinking that we should be shamed, we can stand firmly in that. Amen? So, this word craftiness, the craftiness of our own wisdom, sometimes it's a sophisticated style and it's cunning. It's an acute connivery. And this will only trap a person when they stand on a faulty foundation. But on the right foundation of the gospel lens, it brings clarity into our life, into life's situations. So moving on to our last section here, 21 through 22. Paul tells us that all of it's yours. Paul is yours, Apollos is yours, Cephas is yours. In our context, Pastor Tim is yours, I'm yours, Bill Ramirez and the team are yours. All of this is for you. So why try to pit people against each other? We're in this section of division. Let's look through our gospel lens and see how we deal with division with the unity of Jesus Christ in the Spirit, correct? So all of this is yours. We're all here to minister for you for the upbringing and edification and equipping the saints for the ministry of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So Christ came to be served and not served. And so it's up to us to mimic his behavior, because when we're together as a church, we serve our community. We serve each other. When we're together as small groups, we serve each other in the small groups. When we're alone in our individual families, we serve our neighbors. And it's not the other way around. And sometimes we feel like we deserve it all and we don't need to be giving out. It's time for us to look outwardly instead of inwardly. In this time of COVID-19, in the very beginning, I started watching a video about generosity and how generous the Lord is through the Bible Project. It's their video on generosity. And it's times like these where sometimes a lot of people feel like they need to hold on to stuff nice and tight, because who knows when things are going to be available the next time around. And we as a church decided to be generous. We as a denomination of the Christian Missionary Alliance decided to be generous. And we are not lacking anything. Everything has been met. We've met everything. And that's because of the generous hearts here and watching online and throughout the nation. So it's a beautiful thing when we come together and we live through this gospel lens and we start mimicking the way of the foundation that was paid for us. So what does all this mean? What does all this mean? I just kind of gave you a good teaching, but how does this apply to me? There's a call to action coming on in your life. I know I recognize my call to action when I feel angst in my heart, whether it's angst towards another person, an angst towards another situation, angst because I just got onto Facebook and I just see crazy amounts of social media and media pushing a negative story at me. And I know that's the times when I'm standing on the right foundation. And I encourage you guys to take those moments of angst in your heart and use them as an opportunity to either find where you have that angst towards someone and confess it to them, seek the Lord's prayer and confess it to him, recenter yourself underneath the cross, and stand firm on the gospel foundation. It's a beautiful thing, and it's a hard thing. At work, when this happens to me, I actually run into the bathroom stalls because this is a secret place. It's my prayer closet. John 1, because, you know, there's three Johns, John 1, John 2, John 3. Okay. I sit in that prayer stall, and I just stand there, and I let the Lord indwell up my heart, and I let the waters of my soul calm down so the reflection of Christ can come back at me and I can live in that. So church, stand firm that at the foot of the cross, our foundation has been laid, and we can stand firm that we are enough in Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.